Okay, everyone, this is Jeff Walker. Welcome to our Product Launch Formula call. This is our first Q&A call. So this is sort of what's going to happen, is I've got a series of questions that have been submitted to us, either via our survey, our Module 1 survey, or via the Instant Teleseminar interface. And so I'm going to be going through those questions. I've put them together into a PowerPoint, and I'm supposed to be able to play that PowerPoint for the people that are following us online. But for some reason, that's not working. So I'm going to have to read out the questions for all of you. I apologize about that. So I've got a whole bunch of questions to go through. Then after I go through those questions, then I'll be able to take calls. I'll be able to take questions, live questions from people who have dialed in on their phone. So we're probably going to go, I don't know, in the nature of my guess would be, it'll be over an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes, sometimes even longer on these calls. And I know a lot of people, you know, just getting started out with PLF 2.2, and they've got, you know, lots of questions. We got lots of great questions, some housekeeping type of questions, some more strategic questions, some tactical questions. I'm just going to move through them as quickly as I can and try to get to as many as possible. Now, I'm not going to be able to get to every question that was submitted. We sort of took the ones that seem most relevant for lots of people, but we'll get through as many questions as we can. And then we're going to be doing more calls, and we will be, you know, sort of going back and looking back at prior questions and trying to get as many of your questions answered as possible. And with that, let's just get rolling. This first question is from Anthony in Los Altos. And Anthony says, Jeff, PLF is fantastic, and I am already seeing results. I started my list building about a month ago and already have over 700 people on the list. I'm using AWeber to manage it. I'm about to launch my product using Product Launch Formula, but my question is, if 200 out of the 700 list members buy my product, how do I keep my original list clean? Is there a way to easily identify the 200 buyers from the remaining 500 prospects still on the list? I want to keep marketing to the prospects, but I will market to customers differently. Okay, so this one's a pretty easy one. Right in it's one of those tactical ones. Right in AWeber, there's if you look in the lists, I think it's the list settings, there's automation rules. And the great thing about AWeber or my private version of AWeber is called ProFollow, ProFollow.com. Either one of them works the same way. And both of them have great support. And, in fact, there's a online chat that you can do, and that works really well as well. But basically go into the automation rules, and you'll have what you'll do is you'll create a customer list. And right now everyone's on a prospect list, but when they buy, then they get put on the customer list. And you can have it so when they join the customer list, they're automatically unsubscribed from the prospect list. And, you know, that's what I do. I've been doing that for years. It works really, really well. It's not perfect because sometimes someone, when they buy, they might buy and use a different email address than they use when they sign up in your prospect list, but it's about 95%. Good. And so it's very easy to implement, and just go into those automation rules in AWeber or in ProFollow, whichever one you're using. Okay, this one comes in from Croydon, UK. I don't have a name on this one. Is it safe to say this is a little too advanced for those of us who are a little uneasy with techie stuff? Also, the course is really intense, much more than it seemed during the pre-launch, which I think was fantastic. It's certainly a brilliant investment in education, growth, and experience, but I'm pretty concerned about immediate return on investment for the little man who's just about feeling his way around. You know what? I am not a techie at all, I've been able to figure out some of this stuff out. It's really, if you follow the basics that I lay out, it's really not that technically intense. I mean, there's a lot in the course. Of course, it's far more intense than what I showed in the pre-launch. The pre-launch is all the material I was given away for free, which was showing sort of the basics, the background behind it. But, you know, there is a lot going on underneath the hood. Now, I will tell you, this first module is very, very intense. It's very lengthy. There's a lot there because I had to give a big overview over, you know, to give everyone the background before I really start taking you through step by step, you know, leading you by the hand through the other modules. So in general, you know, we've had lots of people have success that have almost no technical skill at all. You know, we'll get into some of the outsourcing and how to hire this stuff out as we get further into the course. But really, if you go on to Craigslist, if you go on to Rent-A-Coder, you can find people to set this stuff up. Like, setting up a blog is really easy to do, and you can probably get that done for $20 or $30. And you get the blog set up, and then once it's set up, it's basically using the blog is similar to using Microsoft Word. So in general, it's not complex. We've had people have a lot of success with very, very little in the way of technical skills. Okay, this one's from, next question is from Steve Marks in Georgetown, Ontario. He says, I'm going to use the course as an affiliate to promote a membership launch. What questions and requests should I ask of the people running the launch? Well, what's really important to figure out, first of all, is if you're participating in someone else's launch, you have to find out, you know, first of all, what the timing is of the launch, when they're going to go into pre-launch, when they're actually going to go live with the launch. Generally, you're going to get the best results if you jump on board early and promote the pre-launch and any pre-launch content, and then you promote all the way along. I've seen over and over that JVs that do really, really well are the people that participate every step of the way with the launch and, you know, create your own story and timeline along with it, and possibly even your own pre-launch content. Certainly putting together a bonus package on your own is another great way. But really, you need to find out when they're going into pre-launch, what the steps of the pre-launch they're going to be doing, like what are they going to be releasing in the pre-launch, and exactly when they go live. You also want to find out how they're tracking, you know, whether they're tracking your leads all the way through. Like if you send them people that will sign up under your affiliate ID, are they going to track those leads? Are they going to send those leads back to your affiliate URL? Those are some of the things. But the more communication you can have with the people running the launch, the better you're going to do in the long run. Okay, next question is from Elvin Furness in North San Juan. I'm looking to use PLF to raise funds for a nonprofit yoga for youth project. The product may be people sponsoring myself in a yoga song. What do you think? Personally, I have not been involved in using PLF in nonprofits. However, it has been used. This is one of the things I want to get done sometime soon, is to actually do a case study with some of the people that have done nonprofit launches. I do know it has worked in a similar type project, and I think it will work for you. It's just at this point I can't give you the real specifics of how other people have done it in the past with nonprofits. Okay, this one's from Trudy in Australia. Can you set up a launch sequence on autopilot via autoresponder for such a thing as an affiliate product? In effect, once a person signs up, they get put through an email sequence, or do you have to be involved each time? You don't have to be involved each time. What I would say is the first time, or maybe the first two times you do this, I would do it live where, you know, you're creating the first email, you're sending that out, you're judging the feedback, seeing what people write back, seeing what the click-throughs are, and sort of judging what the results are each step of the way for the first sequence. And then I fine-tune it, and I do it again, and I would watch it again and watch the results, watch the effects of each piece as you go through it. And after you do it maybe two times, maybe three times, then you can make it completely automated for anyone that join your list from that point forward. The important piece here is, you know, you need to fine-tune your launch. You want your launch to be a conversation. And when you're in that conversation, you're judging what's going on every step of the way. And that, then you're able to fine-tune it. And that's why these launches are so effective, is because it is a conversation. But once you go through that conversation, you know, two times, maybe three times, then you probably pretty much have it dialed in, and then you could just turn it on and have it be completely automated from there. Okay, next question. This one's Jeff. I don't have a list at all. I'm intending to start a website and offer a free report and participate in other people's blogs and forums as you suggested. I have about 200 email addresses in my personal address book. Is it fair to send them just once a sort of personal email telling them about the new venture and products and inviting them to go to the website to sign up for the newsletter? I'm assuming this won't be considered spamming because they all know who I am and I will never bother them again. What do you think? Okay, so now in the whole discussion of spam and what's spam and what's not spam, there's this lengthy, there's this big long continuum, and people fall along it in terms of, you know, how anti-spam zealous they are. And I'm pretty, you know, if you had to draw the whole spectrum of internet marketers, I think I would be way off on the far end of, like, being completely, you know, rabidly anti-spam. And but, you know, there's probably other people outside the marketing world that are even more anti-spam than I am. You know, in other words, what I'm saying is I've never sent out any spam. I've never done any kind of spam. But there is a lot of, you know, gray areas and graduations in there. I know there are some people that would consider sending those emails as spam because it's for a commercial purpose. Personally, I think if these are people that you know personally are in your personal address book, I think it's okay to send it to them, but I would send individual emails. In other words, I wouldn't create one email and do a blind carbon copy and send it to all 200 email addresses. I would take one email and I would send it to each one of those people individually. I would address them individually by their name. I might, you know, for some of them, especially the people I knew better, I would personalize it a little bit. And, you know, it's a lot more work doing it this way than it is just doing a blind carbon copy, but I think you'll be a lot safer and you'll get a lot better response if you do it that way. And in my opinion, that would not be spam. Otherwise, what you're talking about, you know, starting a website, doing a free report, participating in blogs and forums, that's all a great way to build a list. It's not, you know, it's not the fastest way. You know, going participating in blogs and forums is not the fastest way to add tons of people to your list. But those people will be very, very high-value people, very, you know, warm leads, so to speak. And so that's a great way to start doing it. In Module 2, I'm going to have the first, I think it's List Building 101 is what it's called. It's the first material on list building. So you're going to get that when we release Module 2 in just a couple days. Okay, next question. This one's from Carl in Gomaringen, Germany. I'm sure I butchered that pronunciation, and I'm sorry about it. So Carl in Germany. Hi, Jeff. Typically, I've got several promising projects in the making. Can you give a set of rules or a rule of thumb about how to choose the right project for the first launch? This is a problem a lot of us have. I guarantee you, most of the people on this call have got too many ideas and not enough time to implement the ideas. I think that's most of us, or a lot of us, tend to fall into that mode. I know this is certainly something for me because I've got new potential projects coming at me nonstop. You know, people are always coming up to me with great ideas and wanting me to get involved in things. So I'll just give you some of the things I look at. First of all, I look at, you know, what's my overall business and how does this strategically fit into my business? You know, for example, you know, right now I'm teaching about, you know, product launches. That's my area of expertise. That's what my business is based on, is helping people with product launches. So if I had someone come up to me and say, hey, I've got this great product on, you know, on flipping websites, I'm building and selling websites. How about if we partner up and it could be like a Jeff Walker product? I'll do all the work in the background. Now you've got a new product to sell. I'm like, does that strategically fit into my business? I mean, sure, my business is about internet marketing, and that product would be about internet marketing, but it's not really a fit into what I do. I mean, what I do is product launches, is influence, is helping people create higher conversions, helping them create big inflows into their website, getting started, getting instant momentum. It's not about buying and flipping websites, so it just that strategically wouldn't fit. So the first thing I look for is a strategic fit into my business. The second thing I look at is whether the project is going to scale. In other words, can it grow and keep on growing without my time involved keeping on growing? So, like, you know, for me, like, consulting on an hourly basis, that doesn't scale. I don't care how much I'm getting paid an hour. I've only got so many hours in the day, and it does not scale. So I'm always looking for something that can continue to grow without my time component, you know, my time involvement continuing to grow. Another thing I'll look at and say, do I have a passion for this? Does this excite me? Will it be fun? You know, I'm fortunate to have gotten to the point where I just work on stuff I want to work on. And I hope all of you get to that point as well. So another big thing is, do I have a passion for this? And is it going to be fun? Another thing is, obviously, what's the potential financial rewards? Can it help build my list, build my positioning in the market? And who am I going to be working with? I'm also lucky enough to get to the point where I will only work with people I like and that I enjoy working with. And you know, there's lots of projects I pass by, including super high-profile projects, where I'm just like, I don't think I want to work with that person. They might be a great person, but I just don't think we're going to work well together. So, you know, I'm not going to take this project. So, you know, those are a few of the things. I mean, this is never easy. I mean, one of the things sometimes I'll do is I'll say, I'm going to look at all these different criteria, like the criteria I just mentioned, and list, like, on a 1 to 5, is this something that's going to be fun, with 1 being not much fun and 5 being a lot of fun? Will this enhance my positioning, with 1 being no, it won't, to 5, it will really enhance my positioning? And so I'll look at each thing on a 1 to 5 scale, and then I'll rate. You know, this works especially well if you have multiple projects. Take each project and rate each one of those on a 1 to 5 scale for each one of those things. And then you can add up the score. Now, if you really want to get even more sophisticated, I've actually done this to show you what a nerd I can be at times. Is I've said, well, okay, at this point in my life, doing a fun project is important to me. So I'm going to give that like a rating of, so I sort of rate each individual thing. So on the fun scale, that might be worth a 5. And the positioning scale might be worth a 4. And the revenue thing might be worth a 3 or 3.5. And the strategic thing could be a 5. And so I'll actually do a whole matrix where I'll multiply out each value times the overall value of that category. If you really want to get complicated and, you know, play around with the spreadsheet, you know, I can geek out with the best of them and get involved, you know, start to build spreadsheets to have all this stuff. So those are some of the things. But it's definitely one of the things as you go through this course and as you build your business, you will start to have more potential projects than you could possibly handle. You know, even if you build out a big team and have a whole bunch of people working for you, you're still going to have more projects than you can possibly do. And picking the right projects, it's prioritizing which projects you're going to do. You know, the selection of those projects is going to be one of the biggest factors in your overall long-term success. So, Carl, I'm glad you're asking this question. It's a fantastic question. And for everyone listening, you should be doing the same thought process. And if you're not there yet, as soon as your business starts to have some real success, then you will be there soon. You know, overall, one of the biggest things in your business is opportunity cost. For every opportunity that you follow, that you go after, there is a cost involved beyond the financial cost. It's the cost of what else could you be doing at that time. And managing for your opportunity cost and making sure the return on your investment of your efforts is as high as possible is one of the biggest determinations of you know, how big your business is going to get, how successful your business is going to get. Okay, next question. This one's from Ron in Ohio. Are there SWIFT files, specifically email text sequences, that we can use with the program? I do not see them anywhere, and that would be most helpful for all. Yes, in fact, there. If I'm not mistaken, we already released 2 SWIFT files with module 1. They were right in there. One was, I think, the tax sale, and one was Go Romance launch. And so there are text files. I think they're in text document. They're or in text format. I think they're probably also in either PDF or Word file format. So those are there for you, and we will be releasing more as we go through the course. Okay, next question. Hi, Jeff. If you're selling a widget, a non-internet marketing type product, can you give some ideas on how to start your story, i.e. supply the first letter or video which you would direct your list to? This is the area I'm finding difficult, i.e. you advise, don't let them even know there's a product involved yet. So any pointers on how to avoid mention of the widget in the first chapter of your story? Thanks, Ed. And then a related one from Sharla in Santa Cruz, California. What's the difference between my launch story and my personal story of why I created the program? We had a few questions on story in here. And rather than getting into a really lengthy response, I wanted to just ask you to wait until Module 2, which we're just going to be releasing in just a couple days. And Module 2 has got a lot of material on your story, and it's very explicit in how to put together your story. You guys are going to love this because, you know, basically I walk you through by the hand and show you in several different areas how we create story. So just hold off. Module 2, I think it's going to be very useful for you in creating your story. Next question from Trevor in England. In your experience, what would you say network marketers are really looking for as a result? Obviously, money, overcoming objections of prospects, generating leads, sponsoring more people. Does that sound like I'm on the right track? Yes, Trevor, you are. But I'd say more importantly than money, I think is probably most of them, they're deep down, if you get to what is money, what does money mean to them, I think it really means freedom to them. So, yes, you can talk about the money, but remember that underlying that is freedom. And then the other things like, overcoming objections, generating leads, sponsoring more people, those are additional things, but the real key thing is, I think, the money and the freedom. Those are really important. Okay, next question. I just got an offline message. Yeah, in Module 1, we did give email swipe files. One was for the Go Romance quick launch, which is a really cool launch, and the first time I ever wrote copy in a woman's voice, so that was sort of fun for me. And, you know, a nice, warm, cuddly, fuzzy, you know, voice. I had a good time writing that copy. And then was for my tax sale. So you get the complete sequences for those, and we'll be given more sequences as we go through the modules. Okay, next question. I have a nuts and bolts question related to communicating with my soon-to-be list. For links sent to a list through email, what's the difference between using a redirect page versus something like cloaking links or some other disguise? I'm not sure exactly what cloaking means, but I can see the value in not putting long, cryptic links in my messages. Is one method better or easier to use than another? Does this have something to do with link tracking to see who opened my messages and clicked through? Thank you very much. Okay, first of all, a lot of these terms like redirects and cloaking, they mean different things to different people. But, like, the one thing is you're right. You don't want to put in super long links for people because they'll get broken a lot of times in email messages. And I think they look uglier and they... This is me guessing. I haven't actually tested this, but I think that people would probably click on those longer links less often than they do on shorter ones. What's important to me is to figure out what links people are clicking on, because you know then you can adjust your copy going forward and to try to maximize the click-through. So I run this. I currently run a lot of my links through one of my websites, through a link tracker, what I call a link tracker. It's basically I create a link, and that link does nothing but redirects to a web page. So I have a fairly short, clean link. I'll dig up that. I'm drawing a blank on that software, but I'll get you a link for the software I use. And there's a, but there's a lot of different ones that do that. Also in Profollow or AWeber, there is, you know, it's built in if you use HTML email. And you can actually, if you put in the links, you know, you can put whatever the link in is that you want, and then you put in your copy for that link. So it could say, you know, the link could be www.example.com/123-video.html, but, you know, you can put in that URL, but then the text that will actually show is, you know, click here to see the video. And when you do that, you actually do get link track, and you can see right in Profollow or AWeber, either one of them, you'll see the exact, you know, you'll see how many people click through on those links. So the important thing is that you can track so you can see how many people are clicking through. Okay, next question. This is from Noel in Placentia. I hope I got that right. I have a membership site I'm planning to launch on May 15th. What's the most critical first thing to do in order to get the biggest bang out of this launch? I'd say, you know what, go through module one, go through it very, very completely. You know, it's hard for me to sit here and say this is the single most critical thing because there's so much involved. Go through module one, go through it completely. Maybe watch all the videos and read all the transcripts. And then module two is going to come out in just a couple days. And go through that again. Module two is just—it's gonna—I think it's gonna rock your world. I think it's gonna rock everyone's world. Go through that completely, and you know we're releasing that in just a couple days. And so that means by it'll still be a full two and a half weeks before your launch, and you're going to be getting I don't want to say 80% of product launch formula, but you're going to be getting the solid ground in exactly what you need to do. I mean, really, the most critical, important thing, if I had to pick one thing of everything, it's getting your offer right. And the way you get your offer right is you get in that conversation with the market. And that conversation with the market, you know, it happens throughout your pre-launch, as you're releasing pre-launch content, as you're, you know, inviting them to write back to you, to email back to you, to comment on your blogs. As you do that, that conversation, you'll start to get a feel for what your offer needs to be. So, and then get that, you know, put together a really solid, crushing offer that hits exactly what your people want. So, you know, go through module one, go through module two, get cracking on this stuff. Get in a conversation with your market and nail the offer. Okay, this one's from Matthew in Sunnyvale. I think that's New York, but I don't have it down here. Jeff, if a product has a $1,000 price point and I offer a payment option, should I do three payments or just two payment installments? Or is $9.97 a price point most people can afford? Boy, it really depends on, you know, what your market is. Pricing is one of the questions where it depends on a lot of different things more than just about anything else. You know, if this is a market that's, you know, if it's a, how to learn to play your guitar, then $1,000 might be too high a price point. If it's, you know, a how to make money product, how, you know, putting people in business product, then $1,000 isn't too much. What I would say is in the current economy, people seem to be more sensitive not to the overall price but to the size of the payments. So I would think that three payments would probably do better than two payments. I would also offer the $997. Now, the three payments should add up to more than $997 because you want to give people an incentive to take the one pay. Also, you're going to have additional costs with the multi-pay. You know, you're going to have additional administrative costs. You're going to have additional transaction costs. So if you're going to do a three pay, you know, you probably want to do it at least, well, I don't know, here, let me grab my calculator, probably at least $347. 347 times 3 is equal to 1,041. So there you're doing about a $40 increase in price. You might want to go 397. times three is like $1,200. So that's a big jump if they go with the three pay. Or you could do something in between, like a 377, something like that, or 379, something like that. So I would tend to go with the three payments. I would offer the one pay. The one pay should come out less than what the three pay costs. And you also might want to give an incentive, like some extra bonus they get if they go with the one pay. Because the reality is it's always better to get the money up front. And that's why you want that one pay, and that's why you want the incentive to go with the one pay. But there are going to be people that will want the multi-pay. Okay, this one's from Elaine in Manchester, UK. And Elaine says, "Hi, I've been listening and watching PLF, and most of it's based on having your own product. Though one of the audios was from someone who did a joint venture. I'm a newbie. Only been active online since November 2008. I'm starting out as an affiliate in the relationship niche." It's funny. I always say niche. That's the way we pronounce it here in Colorado. But I've talked to so many people from the UK that say niche. And since Elaine's from the UK, I just said niche. It's hilarious. In any case, Elaine says, "I'm starting out as an affiliate in the relationship niche. And I've interviewed 4 relationship experts, plus I have another 3 to do. My aim is to have 10 and promote them all at the same time. Since getting product launch formula, I can see that I could launch each one individually. But how do I get the list to email to and build up the relationship when they are not on my list?" Okay, so first of all, congratulations. I mean, it sounds like you've started off four or five, maybe six months ago, and you've already knocked out interviews with 4 experts, and you've got 3 more scheduled. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, you're well on your way to having a serious product. When you get 10 interviews, I mean, it's going to be a serious product. There's lots of different ways you can do this. And, you know, like I said, we're going to release the first List Building 101 as part of Module 2, and you want to go through that. But in this case, what I would do, I would release them each individually, but really only to each expert's list. And that let me explain what it means. Is, let's say you have expert A, and you do the interview with them, then I would, what I would do is I would go back to expert A, and I would say, "Hey, we did that interview. It came out really great. I've got the audio ready to go. I created the transcripts, and what I'd like to do is, have this promoted to your list. And if you promote it to your list, I'll pay you." And at this point, I would pay them like 70% or something like that. But what you're doing is you're having them. In fact, this is the thing to do. Go back to them, and you've done the interview with them. See if they'll do a teleseminar with you. Then set up the teleseminar, and then have them mail their list. They mail their list to a link to register for the teleseminar. That link is putting them on your list. Then you tell a person, we're going to do a live teleseminar. We're going to take questions. It's going to be really cool. And at the end of the teleseminar, we'll sell them your product. We'll sell them, we could sell them your product, and we can add in this interview as a bonus for it. And so what you're doing is you're putting together a promotion for them that's going to drive a lot of money into their business, but you're getting them to email their list. To get this, either to get the interview that you did, or to get on a teleseminar, and so this way you, with each interview you do, you build your list further and further. So let's just I don't think I was terribly clear in the way I laid that out, but let's say you have expert A. You go back, you've done the interview with expert A. Now what you do is you can get them to mail their list to a squeeze page that offers them that interview, and then as part of that process, then seeks to sell one of their products back to them. I did this actually. I'll walk through an example of how we did this. Harris Feldman, who's an internet marketer, came up to me and said, "Hey, let's promote Product Launch Formula." And at that point, Product Launch Formula is available pretty much every day. Every day of the year, but because this was back in Product Launch Formula version 1, when we didn't do it as an interactive class like this. He said, I've got, you know, you mail your list, send them to this teleseminar, we'll do a teleseminar. At the end of the teleseminar, we'll pitch them on product launch formula. He said, and Harris went on, in addition, I'm going to be emailing my list and trying to get and getting them on that teleseminar. And so what Harris had done is he had, this is a sort of a chicken and egg. You just need to get the first person to mail for you. And once the first person mails for you, then you have a list. Then when you go to the second expert, now you've got a list, and you go to them and say, hey, let's offer, let's do a teleseminar. Part of the teleseminars, we'll offer them this interview we did, and then we'll sell them your product at the end of the call. You mail your list, I'll mail my list. And then after you do two of them, now you've got a bigger list. And now you go to the third one and say, hey, you repeat the same offer. We did this interview. How about we get on and do a teleseminar? We do a teleseminar, and the teleseminar, you can either sell them the interview you did, or you can sell them the product, you know, Guru C's or Expert C's product. And you can just go from one to another. And so, I mean, it really, it's a question of just getting that first one to email their list to your squeeze page so you have the very beginnings of a list, and then you can keep on going from list to list to list. And really what you're doing is you're trying to put a promotion together to sell as much of that person's product as possible. You can split the revenue, or you could just say you keep 100% of the revenue. I'm just in this to build a relationship with you and, you know, to get my business rolling. So I sort of went through that, you know, a few different ways and different scenarios, but this, I've seen this done over and over in different markets, and it really works well. You just have to get that first expert to mail for you, to mail their list for you, and once they do, then you've got your little itty-bitty list, and then you can grow from there. Okay, I spent a lot of time on that. I hope I gave you guys, or you guys and girls, sorry, or you folks, a lot of some ideas there on how to start off, because this is a fantastic way to start off is by going to experts and interviewing them. You create a product yourself, and you can also use it to build a list. Okay, next question from Ben in Fairport. Any additional insights or tips for launching coaching programs as open enrollment for X number of times per year? I've had a coaching program now for 8 years, and I'm wanting to do open enrollment launches a few times per year. Any special tips? This is essentially what I'm doing with Product Launch Formula. You know, I found it's a great way to go. You know, with version one, I sold that, and, you know, we sold that all the time. With version two, we cut back and we said, we're just going to run a class maybe once or twice a year and make it interactive and walk through it together. And what we found is it's a lot more effective. People make, you know, they get better results following the course as, you know, when we roll through it a few times a year and we make it interactive with these calls. So I think it really serves your clients better. And also it tends to make for a really great selling environment. So I would, you know, because then what you've done is you've turned it into an event. That's what I talk about with Product Launch Formula, is turning your market into an event. And so I don't know if I've got any special tips other than just, you know, taking what you've done and, you know, obviously you have to structure your product so it makes sense to do it this way, and then just go through Product Launch Formula and do your standard product launch. And then you can basically do a very similar launch each time you do it. So maybe you're going to do an open enrollment, you know, every quarter, you know, four times a year. You can basically run a very similar launch each time. You really don't, you know, don't need to reinvent the wheel each time, and it works really, really well. Okay, next question from Karen in, boy, I don't know how to pronounce this. I've seen this name. It's T-E-M-E-C-U-L-A. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm not going to even try. Okay, so here's the question. Do owners of forums make good affiliates? Are they hard to convince to JV with you? Okay, so this is an interesting question because, in general, I found that advertising in forums is really not good. It doesn't tend to perform very well at all because people that go to forums, they are very wrapped up in in what in the community and what they're reading in that forum. And they're so used to that website that they tune everything out of the website. They're looking at the messages on the forum. They don't even see anything else. They don't see any banners or any other ads on the forum. So in general, advertising on forums is not good. Now, if you can get the owner to do something different, often the owners of forums, especially if they're somewhat active in the forum, have tremendous, tremendous goodwill on the forum. The people love them, they respect them, they listen to them. And so if you can get them to endorse you, if you can get them, to say, send out an email to their list and to post in the forum that, go buy this product because it's really good, or go get on this list because it's really good. If you can do that, then they can make great affiliates. If you can get them to start a thread about how great your stuff is, then they make great affiliates. If you can get them to, to inject maybe advertising right into the middle of the threads, have special something in the midst of the thread, like with a little ad, that can be great. So they can be good affiliates, but not if they just want to throw up a banner, or not if they just want to throw up a text link. Those generally don't do much for you. Are they hard to convince to joint venture with you? I don't think so, because the reality is most owners of forums are not making much money. Forums are generally not huge money makers. They tend to take a lot of time and a lot of effort and some serious hardware, and they don't generate much money. Because remember what I said about advertising on forums not being good? Well, I'm not the only one that knows that. Everyone out there buying advertising knows that, and they don't want to advertise on those forums, so they're not willing to pay very much to advertise on those forums in general. So that means those guys, the people owning forums just aren't making much money. So if you can convince them that by promoting for you, by promoting your launch, that they can make money, then they're usually willing to listen. So, bottom line is, if you can get them to do something other than standard everyday advertising, they can be really good affiliates, and often it's not that hard to get them on board. Okay, next question. Okay, this is from Matt, and Matt's not the only one with this question. Matt in Chicago, how do you build an email list? I really want to know how you build a list and what type of cost. Well, so a lot of people want to know about list building, and like I said, in Module 2, which is coming out in just a couple days, we have List Building 101, and I think you guys are going to like that. Now, Matt was wondering exactly how I specifically built my list. And the thing to remember is I've been building lists since 1996, so it's been a while. And since 1996, when I started out online, list building has been my number one focus. And so I've done it a number of ways. The way I started out building it is putting out good content and hoping that good content attracted people either through the search engines or through word of mouth. And it did. I started out adding one or two people a day to my list. Eventually, I after a year or two, I got up to maybe 30 people a day. And this is back in the investing niche. 30 people a day ends up being about 1,000 people a month. It's 900 people a month. So 900 people a month, since I got my calculator out here, is 10,800 per year. Now, you're always going to have some people drop off through unsubscribes and stuff like that. But let's just say 30 a day is 10,000 a month. I mean, 10,000 a year. That list I eventually built up to about 80,000 people. So I am... you'll hear about people building lists really fast, and I've done that as well. But I'm also a fan of creating, a website, a bunch of content that feeds into like a squeeze page, and just building up systems and building up content so you're always feeding people into that squeeze page, so you're always adding some people. You can do other things, and I definitely do other things and have done other things, but it's nice to always have that groundwork of just you're always feeding new leads into your business because you've created some compelling content that drives people onto your lists. So that was the way I first started building my list. Then I also started paying per lead and paying per click. You know, doing even way back before Google AdWords, before Overture was known as Overture, it was GoTo.com, and I was spending money to advertise on GoTo.com way back, like in 97 or 98, paying to get people to my website and driving them to squeeze pages. We didn't call them squeeze pages back then, but basically it was a squeeze page. Driving them onto those pages and getting them to subscribe. So it's another way I built my list. Another way I would build a list is I would come out with like a special report or something, some new special piece of content. Then I would email my list and tell them about that new special piece of content. And generally through word of mouth, I would get hundreds or even thousands of new people on my list. You know, once you build a list up, it's easier. You know, you got to think about, you know, starting small, but then for every person, every single person you add to your list early on, it really, it's a leverage point for you, because then those people can become your evangelists. You can put out good stuff. They'll go out and tell other people about it. They'll go talk about it on forums, and they'll go talk about it on social media and in blog posts and things like that. If you can create compelling content, then you can get a lot of pass-along traffic and get people on your list that way. Now, my favorite way currently to build my list is through launches. I do launches with joint venture partners, and I add, you know, I can add 10, 20, 30,000 people to my list in 2 or 3 weeks with a launch. So the fastest, most effective way to build a really warm, powerful list is with a launch and with using joint venture partners. So that's specifically my number one way that I do it now. Now, if for people that are just starting out without a list, you're probably not going to be successful in going out and landing a bunch of high-powered JV partners that are going to promote wildly for you. You know, so that's, you know, that's sort of an advanced strategy. But once you get to that point, once you go through like the seed launch and the internal launch that I'm going to teach you, then you're going to be able to, you know, depending on the market, not all markets are going to work for the joint venture stuff, but most of them will. So that's sort of the path I, you know, that you would go is, you know, start to build a list through the, you know, what I share in List Building 101, start to build it through content, start to build it as one of the prior questions was, you know, participating in forums, participating on blogs, drive those initial people onto your list. Those are really warm. When they come from forums and when they come from blogs, they're really warm leads. And those leads, can be the type of leads that turn to evangelists that help you help you build your list then through word of mouth and through creating more content. And then as you start move through like the seed launch, the internal launch, get more experience, when you eventually get to the JV launch, then all of a sudden you can explode your list and grow it quickly, very, very quickly at that point. Okay, let me get some water here and go on to the next question. This is from Wayne in Aurora. I'm assuming it's Aurora, Colorado, but I'm not sure. Wayne asks, how do you get to know your prospects when you go into a niche you have no knowledge of, like age, sex, income, likes, dislikes, etc.? Okay, the easy way to do this is go to your local Barnes & Noble or Borders and buy a couple magazines for whatever niche you're going into. Get, you know, buy, you know, if it was guitar, I would go and buy every single guitar magazine there was. You know, just, you know, the current month's issue of every magazine. If it was gardening, I'd do the same thing. You know, I'd spend $20 and buy every magazine there was. And then I would sit down and I'd read those from end to end. And that will give you a solid grounding. You can also, you know, and especially read like the letters to the editors, that type of thing. You can also go look for forums. There's forums on just about any topic. Go spend some time in those forums. Again, you're going to get incredible education on, you know, what people are thinking, how they communicate, where they hang out, and you'll really get to know them by hanging out in the forums. Join the forum, participate in the forum, even at a beginner level. And just doing those two things will give you a huge leg up. You know, another thing that I like to do is use, and this is more further down the road after you start to get a good feel for who they are and what they are, is you can use AdWords and drive people to a squeeze page. And basically what the squeeze page is it's just asking them what's the number one question they have, and tell them you're creating a special report, and they'll get a free copy of the special report. But first, for them to tell you what their number one question is, if it is about, you know, gardening, you know, growing tomatoes, tell them you're creating a special report on, you know, that gives all the secrets you've got about growing tomatoes. And but first, you really want to know what their number one question is. This is something that, you know, Frank Kern just first told me about this technique, you know, in 2003. Spend $100 in AdWords, drive traffic into that, into that type of squeeze page. You're not really even looking to build your list, although it will build your list, but ask them about their number one question. So again, you're going to learn. Go onto forums and ask people questions, and it's not that hard to do. If you just look at where they're hanging out and read their interactions and what they're talking about. Just like one housekeeping thing and I don't know how well this will actually work because they're probably not going to hear me, but right now our phone line, the AccuConference phone line, is completely full, but there's still lots of room over on the webcast. So, I feel a little silly for mentioning this because I don't think people could, you know, they're not going to hear me anyways, but this is something to remember in the future, is if you could dial in and try to get on the AccuConference, dial in via the phone. If you can't get on, you can always go to the webcast because we've got lots and lots of room over in the webcast. So if in the future you call in and it's full, go to the webcast. Or, you know, if you're, for some reason, you get disconnected, your phone, your cell battery runs out or something, you can't get back in because it's all filled, go to the webcast. Okay, next question. We've got a few more questions, and then we are going to go to live questions, and I'll take some live questions. At some point, I'd like to know how to create all the CDs, DVDs, et cetera, that we'll need to build as my product line and sales material. That information may be in product launch formula, but I've read so thus far is Module 1. Do you provide that information? Yes, actually we do. We have... I have a full interview with Cindy over at My Fulfillment House, which is disc.com. I think we're going to release that as part of the next module. It's actually one of the bonuses you're going to get is a full-out interview with My Fulfillment Company and, you know, how to work with them and what are some of the tips and tricks and potential pitfalls when you're working with a fulfillment house. So you will be getting that soon. This is from Amir in Israel. Hi, Jeff. Next week I'm launching a discounted pre-registration for a conference I'm holding in June. The first 50 to sign up get a significant discount. My question, what would be best to promote within the next few days? Also, if I get more than 50 people, what offer do I put in front of the people who didn't make the first 50? Okay, first of all, the thing to promote is the special discount and give them a deadline. So say, you know, you've got, you know, 5 more days and the discount goes away, and then you've got 3 more days so the discount goes away, and then you've got 24 hours and the discount goes away, and then you've got 8 hours and the discount goes away. So you got to be really clear about it, because having that deadline doesn't do you any good unless you communicate it. Once that deadline goes by, I try to add in another bonus that people would get, add in another deadline, and another bonus. Of course, everyone that's already bought from you, they get the new bonus as well. So maybe it could be a follow-up teleseminar series after the live event. So, you know, buy by such and such a date, you know, buy by May 15th, and you get that. And I would do that, you know, add in a few different deadlines. That's the thing to do, is keep on adding in more deadlines. And then the last deadline I would add is maybe like 2 weeks before the event, I would raise the price. So, like, I don't know what you're charging, but let's just say you're charging $500, and right now the discount's $400. So if they join, the first 50 people get $100 off. Then once you go through the first 50 people, then it goes up to the $500, and then add in another bonus that goes away in like 2 weeks from now. And then after that goes away, then say, you know, anyone who doesn't buy by, you know, May 21st, you know, the price, we're going up to our full price, which is $750. So the whole thing with something like this is to stage multiple deadlines and be very clear on those deadlines. And what you'll see is each time a deadline comes up, you'll get a rush of registrations. Next question from Jay in Oakville. How far in advance should you notify your merchant account before a launch? First of all, Jay and everyone, one of the bonuses that's available right now on the PLF site is a full-out interview with Judd Smith, who's basically he's with my merchant account company. Go listen to that, and it will answer this question a lot more. I think it's one of the real key pieces of product launch formula that I've included. This is stuff no one else talks about. You wouldn't see anyone else talking about this in anything, but we go really in-depth into exactly how to work with your merchant account providers so they don't give you any problem. The answer here is I tell them as far in advance as possible, and then I would keep on reminding them as you get closer. You know, as soon as you set a solid date, you don't want to say we're going to launch July 15th and then say, oh, really, I meant August 15th, and then, oh, yeah, it's September 15th, and oops, it's November 15th. I mean, they're not going to take you serious if you do something like that. But once you have it, you know, a pretty good idea when you're going to do it, I would start communicating with them. And, you know, a month or 6 weeks out is not too far out, and make sure that you communicate with them in writing. But go listen to that interview because there's a ton of material in that interview. It's solid, actionable stuff that tells you exactly what's going on in that relationship you're going to have with your merchant account provider and how to maximize that relationship so things run as smoothly as possible. Again, that's in the bonus section of the Product Launch Formula site. From Jay, this is a different Jay. This is Jay in New Albany. What do I need to view your .mmap files? Is there a free viewer? Can I do it on a Mac, or do I need a Win machine? Again, this is covered. This is covered in the bonus section. There's a link to sort of I do a tutorial on mind maps. And I think I also have that in Module 1. Go check it out. It's not a really lengthy tutorial, but it'll answer all your questions. Yes, there is a free viewer. Yes, you can do it on a Mac. I'm completely Mac-based. And you can do it on a Mac or a Windows machine. But go check out the mind mapping tutorial. This one, I'm a business consultant and executive coach. I've started developing two distinct types of prospects, but I'm still struggling on the offer part since my service is very time-consuming. The answer to this is to turn your consulting and your coaching into an information product. Now, it doesn't, and I don't have time to really go into depth in this because I could probably teach a 6-week course on this. But, you know, you want to keep your consulting and your coaching alive, and you want to keep those services, but you also want to create information products around your consulting and your coaching. And that way, usually you can raise your prices for your consulting and your coaching. But even if you can't, you keep the prices the same for the coaching and the consulting. You can have a lower price product or even a similar price product that people get, and it could be an online course, it could be CDs, DVDs, manuals, anything like that. And so that really is your answer to get away from this, trading dollars for hours, trading hours for dollars. The real answer for this type of situation is creating an information product. And, you know, I don't specifically cover that in PLF, but I do cover a lot of material around that. And I think just by going through PLF, you're going to be able to see how to do that. Next question. I can't wait to get further into it. When will the next module be released? The plan is this Friday we're going to be releasing Module 2, and I think you guys are going to love Module 2. I think it's going to rock your world. People tend to love this one, especially the story creation stuff.